Welcome to a little mini episode of CRT Sound System. My name is Tom, and I'm here as always with Reese. Reese, how are you?
Doing great. I know I said this last episode, but I'm excited we're recording again. We had like the winter break.
Yeah.
And we're now back into the swing of it. It is always such a fun kind of background activity to just be like, well, I have to listen to the Journey to Scylla soundtrack 7 times. It's for work. It's fun. And this was another fun composer to learn about. So I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a guest with us just for this little mini episode. So Boyne, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Boyne. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming along.
Yeah, really excited to have you here. Thank you for your time.
As this is just a little mini episode, it won't be quite as long as our full ones. So last year we did the episode of on Dub Wars, which Reese brought to me with great shame. because it was a very short soundtrack, we changed up the format a little bit. And there's a lot of games that I'd like to cover that just sort of don't have a lot of music to them, so that there isn't a huge amount to actually talk about or a huge amount of music to listen to. So I've decided to start doing these little mini episodes, sort of just as in between ones, just for games that sort of have shorter soundtracks.
Absolutely.
And this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and it's nice dipping into, because it's kind of hard to access some of these Nintendo soundtracks, even though I love them so much, because of just, you know, there's a lot of looping music. They're all usually much shorter. And so excited to, I think, to really crack open the Sunsoft
vault,
basically, and just get into it.
Yeah, we haven't covered a lot of Sunsoft. Certainly, probably not as much as I think they deserve. There are a lot of good soundtracks under their belt. This definitely being one of them. So it's composed by Naoki Kadaka, who basically just sort of showed up in the 80s, did a bunch of games, and then disappeared to have a real job.
Yeah, and this is one of those. This is one of those examples, I think, of the sort of in-house composers just being permitted to just let their, frankly, genius fly. You know, we've talked a lot about sort of Dean Evans and Ocean, stuff like that, and how you know it's. You're playing the Flintstones, and you're like, why does this bang this hard? You're playing the Gremlins 2 game. You're playing the Platoon game, and you're just like, oh, they shouldn't make a Platoon game. But since they did, this soundtrack bangs.
Yeah, playing Adam's Family or Batman or fucking Gremlins.
And Kodaka's really interesting, too, because, like, looking him up, there's a lot of really... The stuff I think we find the most fun, which is... He's not just you know, composing music and then putting it into the game. In his interview, he talks a lot about sort of like how they would just sit and work on you know, combining the square and triangle wave to like create new ways of doing percussion. I don't know what delta encoding is, but he was talking about using it to like make the sample sound different. He's like, we need to a different vibe, a different creation for this. And it's it rips. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely sort of a hallmark of the Sunsoft sort of sound team in general. Like the what they were able to do with the NES is sort of legendary at this stage.
I'm also fascinated too, always whenever there's sort of like a this high level you know, output from like non-Nintendo stuff, because so much of the NES music is you're gonna go back to you know, all of the classics. And so whenever you exit out of that and it's this good and has kind of like a separate vibe, you know, like when I was looking up Kodaka's stuff, I was just like, oh, this is the guy that did Blaster Master, and that was unlocked such a core memory.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I played any of the games on the list of games that he's actually done as a kid. A lot of these ones, I've talked before about how difficult it could be at times to get games in rural Ireland when I was a kid. So you pretty much just got the most mainstream stuff, and the rest was shovelware. So a lot of these games on this list I didn't come to until emulation, basically. And even as I was saying to you before we recorded, the Journey to Silius I didn't play until it arrived on Switch Online. So I've only played like the first level and a bit of it, but again it was one of those things where I was familiar with the music before I ever even picked up the game to play it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Boyne, I'm curious, I know we've talked about the gimmick soundtrack recently, but if you have any sort of like thoughts about sort of your feelings or experiences with sort of like the NES music of, if not Sunsoft in general, and what's appealed to you?
I have known about Gimmick for a long time, and that's one of the Sunsoft NES era games, Famicom, really, that sticks in my mind so well. But the rest of them are, you know, pretty much, other than maybe Batman, some of these Batman titles that he worked on, I don't really recognize. I will say this cutscene in Journey to Silius is, I have a core memory of that specifically. It's one where he's kind of looking like Light Yagami. Yeah, that is a big scene within the pixel art community. I've seen that brought up a lot. People talking about how pretty that is.
It's a good shot, yeah.
Yeah. Really? I didn't know that.
You also nerd sniped me on Delta encoding. That's just like getting more, as far as I understand, getting more notes, and by compressing the way the data is stored. So they can just get more MIDI data onto the cartridge.
Okay,
that makes sense, because like the sample channel is like incredibly small, right? Like I remember in sort of like the review stuff I saw about it, they talked about it. It's like usually just like very specific small things, like the I think the most famous one are like the kind of like bongo or steel drum sounds in Super Mario 3. So that's really interesting, actually, that he's, you know, kind of thinking around the corners for this.
Yeah, if there are samples in it, I don't know a lot about the NES, the way the NES plays samples. I just know more about how MIDI works. So that would make sense if they're compressing all those samples with something that sounds like it was novel for the time. But maybe someone else knows that more than I do.
Yeah,
I mean...
Not too sure myself. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know, you know, I couldn't track the timeline, but I get the understanding, at least from reading the interview with Kodaka, is that it like a very big part of the process for him was, you know, like the composing, it seems almost was an afterthought. He's like, I know I could make good music. The interesting thing is using the technology to make the Nintendo do things you don't think it can do.
Mm.
So I feel like even if there's probably some history there, I think this is definitely a case where they just really let a composer have like free reign to kind of like push the envelope, which I love.
Yeah, no, that's definitely it, and that is definitely a recurring theme with people we've covered recently. We had our Streets of Rage episode quite recently, where like, you know, that was the thing that Yuzo Koshiro really wanted to do, was just sort of figure out how to get sounds out of these chips that they weren't strictly supposed to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, speaking of that, I suppose we'll jump into the music. So we've got everything all in one block, just as I say, because this is a mini episode. So we've got All by Naoki Kodaka. First track is Title. Second track is Stage 1, Stage 2, Stage 3, and Stage 4. And lastly is the boss theme. We'll be right back.
Naoki Kodoka did the NES version of that joke, of that Batman Joker game. Under Genesis, it's Tommy Tallarico.
Yeah, we've actually have had that that come up before on our licensed game episode. And it was literally myself and Reese recorded that like 2 weeks before the H-Bomber guy out came out. And I was saying on the episode, I was like, we're not gonna talk about Tommy Tallarico. It's too much of a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I had never heard about Tommy Tallarico until Tom sort of let me know what that guy gets up to. And then it was just like almost immediately, I feel like Tom just conjured it.
Yeah. it was funny how quickly that happened. but yeah, no, every track in this is such a banger. To get back to the actual music here for a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's so much going on in every one of them, and it's just for an NES game, it just sounds so rich. And like that's sort of, as I say, the hallmark of Sunsoft games is they just managed to really wring such a good sound out of the NES's fairly simple hardware. Even without using the sort of mapper chips, which they did use in later games, but yeah.
We're back in recording, right?
Yeah.
So we go. Okay. Tom, you and Boyne were talking during the break about the delta encoding and the baselines, and figured out that what Naoki Kodaka was doing was using the delta encoding basically to add more notes to the, or doing some kind of manipulation to those baseline notes, which do not sound like NES, you know, baseline NES sounds, which I think is really comes through. Like even before we realized that, Boyne mentioned is just how sick the bass was, and it was it's just specifically because it's such a classic. Project from him, classic production technique. I mean,
absolutely, yeah. No, it definitely gives it a lot, and like the game itself, I think it really works with the style of the game. So I suppose we haven't really talked about the game itself, but it's a sort of like a cyberpunk future run and gun sort of Mega Man style game, and originally was sort of supposed to have been like a licensed Terminator game, but they lost the license for some reason, so they just reskinned it and released it as this. Just even looking at some long plays there, like just the backgrounds and the detail and everything in this game is absolutely ridiculous. Genuinely one of the nicest looking NES games that I've seen in a while, especially when you get a proper chance to look at it.
It's crazy to imagine that there was an era, because this is the first game I heard of them doing this with, where they would just start making a game off of a licensed property and just assume that they'll get it or there won't be an issue.
Yeah.
I think that happened with Fester's Quest specifically. And so it's wild to imagine now just like I'm going to make a Ruby video game, and I'm sure that's gonna go fine.
Yeah, just speculatively start making a game. go ahead.
Whenever you're wrapped up, I do have a quote from Kodaka I'd like to read from this.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Rips.
This is from the interview at Shmuplations. I don't know if exactly what the context was. But this is sort of the final question, and the question is basically saying, "You're so wonderful, isn't it great being you?" And this is the translated response. With the evolution of computers, game music has evolved a great deal since my time at Sunsoft. Though sometimes I wonder to myself if, amidst all this technological progression, game music hasn't lost that special something that lets you know game music is game music. Game music is the kind of music born from the unique media of video games. So I think you can find something in older Famicom music that you don't find in music for modern games. That special essence of game music and sounds. As you immerse yourself in these songs, hidden within the music, you can hear the souls and dreams of many sound programmers who worked on them. I love this man. He just teaches now.
When was that interview?
Let me see. Scroll to the top.
I'm curious if this, how things have changed since he made that quote. That interview is pretty recent.
I think this interview, all the comments, this is from 2022.
When the translation would have been put up, but itself on it doesn't seem to say. But based on the interview, it seems to be sort of late 90s, I would say. Let me just check here.
So this is just like this puts up the translations.
If he's saying that in the late 90s, I'm curious how things have changed, because I mean they were just getting full CD audio.
CD audio, yeah. Let me see. Okay, no, it's actually this was included on a CD that was released in 2011, so it might actually be even a bit later than that, which would make more sense given the comments at the bottom. But in any case, I think that's something we have talked about before, and I've definitely complained about it in the Discord. Where you do sort of lose something when you move from the sounds that can only really be created in a video game to full audio, or like full CD audio with an orchestra and every synth you can imagine to access to, like the restrictions and the limitations are really what make a lot of the Famicom and Super Nintendo and stuff really jump out to a lot of people, I think. And you do lose something when you can just make whatever you want.
Absolutely. And there's like cases where there are pluses, because I think last week we talked about The Outer Wilds, which might not be up yet, but that's a soundtrack that just sounds like there's a lot of really good kind of like down tempo kind of indie vibes to it. That does not sound necessarily like a video game soundtrack, like the way that Kodaka is, but that with the other side of it is that they're able to have such mastery over the production techniques. But there is like a really lovely nostalgia to the fact that these composers are just as much sound programmers. Kodaka talks about it in this episode, and there's a lot of discussion in the Yuzo Koshiro interviews I've read about the trying to also marry the sound effects and the music together, so that it sounds good when you're shooting the gun while the music is playing. That's not true of every video game. It's very interesting to me that sort of like these other aspects of the game are impacting it. So that makes it feel special and unique.
Yeah. I definitely would agree with that. But I suppose to go back then, I'd say just conversely, when you mentioned The Outer Wilds, that is something we did discuss, and like how the music in that game really elevates it. That's a game where like you couldn't really make a chiptune soundtrack for that work. It would be too. It wouldn't work with the themes of the game.
it'd be like the 8-bit My Chemical Romance song. Like you put the notes in, but there's the vibe is not hidden in the same level. I don't know. Maybe somebody could do it, but
I'd say we're just going to finish up with that there. As I say, these are just going to be short little mini episodes for games that don't have very long soundtracks, or that we maybe don't have quite so much to talk about with them. So hopefully we'll be able to do these sort of a couple of times a year, along with the bonus episodes going ahead.
What we talked about when we set up the Patreon too is that it's having the Patreon is a nice excuse to have these episodes, and they're still, you know, free on the Patreon, etc. But it gives us a bit more to add to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think with that, so we're going to leave it. So thank you for joining us, Boyne. Have you anything that you need to plug, any social media, any projects or anything like that?
No, not at all. The only thing to plug is video games. And
play some video games.
Excellent. Play some video games.
Yeah, excellent.
Thank you for having me. This was a pleasure.
We're definitely going to have you on again in future. Reese has come to me with a project or a proposal for an episode that I thought was a very good idea. So we'll definitely reach back out to you on that in future. Reese, what you got going on at the moment? Tell the lovely people at home.
You can find me at my other podcast where we're socialists and mentally ill about video games on Video Games Are the Worst Thing on Earth. I have my personal podcast, Existential Warfare, that I'm it releases at a much slower rate, but still it's about finding good shit in the bad world. And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch and, you know, wherever else at Reese V. Ryder.
Fantastic. As for ourselves, as always, you can find us on Twitter, CRT Pod System, on Blue Sky, CRT Sound System. Send us an email at crtpodsystem@gmail.com. There's a link in the description to the Discord. Come join us in the Discord. Talk to us about some video game music there. We've got a Patreon going, as Reese mentioned. So on the Patreon, you can get some bonus episodes, which will be free for everybody forever, regardless of whether you subscribe or not. And then if you do subscribe at the moment, you can get all of the episodes in a higher bitrate. So you can get all that music, all that nice music in a slightly better quality, if that's something you're into. And at the moment, we're pretty small, so once things start to get bigger, I'll look into doing more stuff. But for now, we're just going to leave things work as they are. But I'm definitely going to try and do some more bonus episodes and mini episodes, just to sort of do on the off weeks every now and then.
Yeah, and also come on the podcast. We're always looking for people to bring us soundtracks.
Yeah,
probably one of the most requested soundtracks is Undertale. And it's just like, we are not touching that unless somebody comes to us with some knowledge. We're not strong enough.
I've had a few people like say, oh, I want to do an Undertale episode, but I'm not ready for that yet. I need to.
No, we're not in this economy.
Not emotionally capable of that at the moment.
Well, Boyne, thank you so much for your time again. This was
wonderful. It was great to have you on. Thank you. Yeah, so we'll close out with just the ending theme, and then I just have the little 8-second game over jingle then for the very, very last track. So thanks very much for listening. Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you.